So today we'll read something from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 41. Chapter 2 of the 11th Canto is titled Maharaj Nimi Meets the Nine Yogendras. So text 41, I think that is the translation there. Or?
Yeah.
So first we'll do the verse and then the translation. Okay.
Kam vayum agnim sariram mahim cha.
Kam vayum agnim sariram mahim cha.
Jyotim shitatvani disho drumadim.
Jyotim shitatvani disho drumadim.
Sarit samudram cha hare sariyam.
Sarit samudram cha hare sariyam.
Yatkim cha bhutam praname dananya.
Yatkim cha bhutam praname dananya.
Kam vayum agnim sariram mahim cha.
Kam vayum agnim sariram mahim cha.
Jyotim shitatvani disho drumadim.
Jyotim shitatvani disho drumadim.
Sarit samudramscha hare sariyam.
Sarit samudramscha hare sariyam.
Yatkim cha bhutam praname dananya.
Yatkim cha bhutam praname dananya.
Kam vayum agnim sariram mahim cha.
Kam vayum agnim sariram mahim cha.
Sattvani disho drumadim.
Jyotim shi sattvani disho drumadim.
Sarit samudram cha hare sariram.
Sarit samudram cha hare sariram.
Yatkim cha bhutam praname dananya.
Yatkim cha bhutam praname dananya.
Come. Either.
Yeah.
Vayum.
Vayum.
Air.
Air.
Agnim.
Agnim.
Fire.
Fire.
Salilam.
Salilam.
Water.
Water.
Mahim.
Mahim.
Earth.
Earth.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Jyotimsi.
Jyotimsi.
The sun, moon and other celestial luminaries.
The sun, moon and other celestial luminaries.
Sattvani.
Sattvani.
All living beings.
All living beings.
Disha.
Disha.
The directions.
The directions.
Dhruma Adin.
Dhruma Adin.
Trees and other immovable creatures.
Trees and other immovable creatures.
Sarit.
Sarit.
The rivers.
The rivers.
Samudran.
Samudran.
And oceans.
And oceans.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Hare.
Hare.
Of the Supreme Lord.
Of the Supreme Lord.
Hari.
Hari.
Sariram.
Sariram.
The body.
The body.
Yat kimcha.
Yat kimcha.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Bhutam.
Bhutam.
In created existence.
In created existence.
Praname.
Praname.
One should bow to.
One should bow to.
Ananya.
Ananya.
Thinking nothing to be separate from the Lord.
Thinking nothing to be separate from the Lord.
Translation. A devotee should not see anything as being separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee should not see anything as being separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Either fire, air, water, earth, the sun and other luminaries, all living beings, the directions, trees and other plants, the rivers and oceans, whatever a devotee experiences, he should consider to be an expansion of Krishna. Whatever a devotee experiences, he should consider to be an expansion of Krishna. Thus, seeing everything that exists within creation as the body of the Supreme Lord Hari, thus, seeing everything that exists within creation as the body of the Supreme Lord Hari, the devotee should offer his sincere respects to the entire expansion of the Lord's body. Thus seeing everything that exists within creation as the body of the Supreme Lord Hari, the devotee should offer his sincere respects to the entire expansion of the Lord's body.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Sadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripatam Bhuvyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva of association Navamatra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi hai. One moment of association with a pure Vaishnava can change someone's life forever. Now the association, yes, there is physical association, but association actually more than the physical association means associating through the ears. So whenever we meet a sadhu, Srila Prabhupada says the first thing you should do is to hear from the sadhu. Association begins with the ears. And hearing is the most important part of our purification in addition to chanting. So let's read Srila Prabhupada's purport here. Srila Prabhupada says that Sri Jiva Goswami has given this example from the Puranas, wherein he says, because of a greedy person's obsession with money, wherever he goes, he sees an opportunity for acquiring wealth. Similarly, a very lusty man notices women everywhere. So a person who is very obsessed with money, he sees wealth everywhere. A person who was very obsessed with women sees women everywhere. In fact, few days back, I had an opportunity to witness one drama which was done by Kripasudha Prabhu, Rahul Prabhu and Manirandan Prabhu. In that drama, there was an interesting theme. It talked about a man who is so obsessed with wealth that somebody tried to put some sense into this fellow's head, saying that at least this human form of life is very rare, come towards self-realization. And they started explaining to him the glorification of the Ganges water. But this person was so deeply entrenched in his materialistic thoughts that whatever instruction of self-realization was given to him, he understood it totally differently. So when he was shown the glories of the water of the Ganges, the Ganga water, immediately he thought, wow, this is interesting. I can sell this Ganga water in Australia and make money because it's so important to people. So immediately his mind, instead of going towards Ganges water in a spiritual sense, he was so contaminated that he always came back to his commercial domain of thinking. Similarly, then he was introduced to a businessman who was a great devotee. So this man was told, see, you are also a businessman, this guy is also a businessman, such a successful businessman, he is also a devotee. So immediately this person saw that, fine, it's very good. That means devotees are there in the congregation, businessmen are also there, so it will give me good opportunities for doing business. So his mind went like that. Then finally, when this person was taken to the graveyard, and he was shown that this is how your body, it will be burnt to ashes, it will be finished. Whatever you are doing, whatever endeavor that you are doing in this lifetime, this is where everything will end. So he went there and he saw that a lot of dead bodies were being burnt in piles and piles of wood. So he thought, wood business is the best business, because death is not that, this business is sure. So Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport that because of a greedy person's obsession with money, wherever he goes, he sees an opportunity for acquiring wealth. Similarly, a very lusty man notices women everywhere. In the same way, a pure devotee sees the transcendental form of the Lord within everything. Since everything is an expansion of the Lord, it is our practical experience that a greedy man will see money everywhere. If he goes to the forest, he will immediately consider whether it will be profitable to purchase the forest land and sell the trees to a paper mill. Similarly, if a lusty man goes to the same forest, he will look everywhere for beautiful women tourists who might happen to be there. And if a devotee goes to the same forest, he will see Krishna there, knowing correctly that the entire forest as well as the sky canopy above is the inferior energy of the Lord. Krishna is supremely sacred, being the supreme personality of Godhead. And since everything that exists expands directly or indirectly from the body of the Lord, everything is sacred when seen through the eyes of a self-realized person. Everything is sacred when seen through the eyes of a self-realized person. Therefore, as stated in this verse, praname, one should offer sincere respects to everything. It's a long purport. So, we'll see the essence of what this purport is in today's class. So essentially, we have been taught about the internal energy and the external energy of the Lord. So we have been taught in this verse to see Krishna in everything, because Krishna is the cause of all causes, sarva karma karanam. In fact, there are two different things that this verse is trying to tell us. Same message, but there are two different mellows, two different dimensions of thinking. One is the metaphysical dimension. When I say metaphysical dimension, I am referring to some words like aham sarvasya prabhavo vaktaha sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajanteva bhuda bhava samahitaha. This is a verse which has got more of a metaphysical flavor. It's more philosophical in nature, it's more technical in nature, where the Lord clearly says that everything is emanating from me. So one way of understanding, seeing Krishna everywhere, is to understand that everything has come from Krishna. So that is a metaphysical dimension. Why is this metaphysical dimension important? It's important because unless we understand the metaphysics of creation of this material world, we will not understand who is Krishna, and therefore we will not have faith in God. We will not have faith in the concept itself of God. Unless we understand the technicalities of creation, we will not understand that there is an intelligence, there is a higher intelligence beyond this creation, and everything just has not come with a big bang, as the foolish scientists are propounding. And even further foolish scientists today are trying to do something in Sweden to see whether there was really a big bang or not. Simply a waste of time. Am I really here? Right? So, if we see the sequence in which Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken from the first canto to the 10th to the 12th canto, initially Srimad Bhagavatam is very high on the, is very intense, or very rich in terms of its metaphysical aspects. And whereas, as we progress in Srimad Bhagavatam, it gradually becomes higher and higher in mellow or rasa. And then, the culmination of the rasa is in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. However, Srila Prabhupada has warned us that without understanding the metaphysics, if we directly jump into the 10th canto, then our understanding could border on sentiment instead of strong conviction backed by philosophy. So therefore, the first aspect of understanding the Lord is the metaphysical aspect, which develops faith in us about God. And the second aspect, which is written in this purport, is that Srimad Bhagavatam also creates fearlessness in life, not only faith. First there is faith and there is fearlessness. Fearlessness because once we understand that Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes, we know that everything and anything that happens in our life is by the will of Krishna. Not only that, Lord has also said another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which is Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Yathamam Shanti Vrachati. So on one hand, Lord is saying Aham Sarvasya Prabhava verse, which is the metaphysical verse, where he is saying, I am the cause of all causes. But after that, he is saying, Bhoktaram Yagatapasham. He is saying both. He is saying, Bhoktaram Yagatapasham, Subhurdam Sarvabhutanam. He is saying that I am the friend and well-wisher of all living entities. So the Lord is expressing his feature not only as cause of all causes, but also as supreme well-wisher and friend of all living entities. So, if you see this verse, the Bhoktaram verse, it is higher on the mellow side. And such a verse helps us in becoming fearless. So seeing Krishna everywhere, that is the theme of this verse. Yes. Seeing Krishna everywhere means understanding that Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes and He is the supreme well-wisher and benefactor of all living entities. Now, this metaphysical dimension of Lord Krishna being the cause of all causes is very nicely explained in the second canto and the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Most of second canto and third canto deals only with the subject matter of sarga and visarga. Sarga means the primary creation and visarga means the secondary creation. Mostly, if you go to people, you know, if you talk to people from India, they'll say, who created? Then immediately the answer will be Brahma created everything. Therefore, Brahma is supreme. What they do not understand is that Brahma is only responsible for the secondary creation or the visarga. Whereas, the ingredients for the secondary creation, which is visarga, has already been laid by Lord Krishna. And that is called as sarga, the primary creation. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, even in the first canto, I think the second or the third chapter, Srila Prabhupada says that at the beginning of creation, when nothing existed, everything is the spiritual world. Actually, there is nothing called as material world. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purports that everything in there is the spiritual world, and in one corner of the spiritual world, there is a dark cloud. In one corner of the spiritual world, there is a dark cloud, and this dark cloud is called as Pradhana or Mahatattva. Srila Prabhupada explains that this dark cloud is the genesis of the material world in one small corner of the spiritual world. This is there. Okay. So in a sense, if you actually see, there is nothing called as material world because everything is Brahman, everything is spiritual world. For example, if you go to Sweden, okay, if you are actually in the country of Sweden, you will see the forest, the lake, everything, as well as you will see a small jail in one corner of Sweden. Will you say that the jail is not Sweden? You will not say that the jail is not Sweden. The jail is inside Sweden, so it is in Sweden. In fact, if you see the address of the jail, it will be Sweden so-and-so zip code. Sweden jail, it will be called as. So in that sense, there is the jail also is Sweden. So in that sense, there is actually nothing called as the material world, because everything is a spiritual world. In one corner, to punish and to reform certain types of people, this jail has been created, this material world has been created. So, Prabhupada explains that this material world has come from the primordial cosmic substance, which is called as Pradhana. Now it is said that this Pradhana, when the Lord desires to create or activate this material world, then what he does is, the Lord in his feature as Mahavishnu glances at this original cosmic substance called as Pradhana. When the Lord glances at this Pradhana becomes activated and then it is known as Mahatattva. Okay. And this glance of Lord of Mahavishnu is called as Sadashiva. So through this glance, he impregnates, he activates the Pradhana and then it becomes Mahatattva. Now this Mahatattva becomes the source of all material elements to follow, whether it is a gross material element or whether it is a subtle material element. And the entire science of how that happens is mentioned in the second canto and again in detail in the third canto, where it is said that the Lord has got various shaktis. He has got what is called as Ichha Shakti, which means by his supreme will he creates this material worlds. When Mahavishnu is breathing, millions and millions of universes come out from the pores of his body. They enter into this Mahatattva. And then what happens? By his Kala Shakti, by virtue of time, what happens? The false ego starts interacting with the three modes of material nature. So, the origin of false ego and the three modes of material nature lies in this Mahatattva. But, as I mentioned earlier, this Mahatattva does not come of its own. It has to be activated by the glance of the Lord. And that is very important to understand. Okay? Because unless the Lord glances at the Pradhan, there is no question of Mahatattva coming in picture. Therefore, there is no question of any gross or material substance manifesting for creation, for material creation. Then Prabhupada goes on to explain that the first thing, which is one of the early things which is created, is the false ego. The false ego interacts with the mode of goodness, and from there the mind and the demigods come. The false ego then interacts with the mode of passion, and from there the intelligence comes. And then the false ego starts interacting with the mode of ignorance, and when it interacts with the mode of ignorance, the senses and the objects of the senses arise, and the various material elements come from them. What are the basic material elements? As it is mentioned in this verse, air, water, fire, ether and earth. These are the five elements. Pancha Bhuta Mahatattva. So, these are the gross material elements. They manifest from an interaction of false ego with the mode of ignorance. And also the subtle elements, as I mentioned earlier, when false ego combines with the mode of goodness, mind comes. When false ego interacts with mode of passion, intelligence comes from there. So like that. So if you see here, till now, Brahma has not come. I have never used the word Brahma. Till now, who is creating? Mahavishnu is creating everything with his glance. And with his glance, all this interaction is happening of the material elements with, under the influence of time, the false ego interacting with the different modes of material nature. Now, all this already happens, and after all this is ready, then the Lord Mahavishnu is entering into each and every universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And from then, his navel, there are 14 planetary systems which are there. And on top of that, after that, Brahma is coming. Right? And when Brahma is sitting on the lotus flower, he doesn't know what to do. For example, if you give me potatoes and sabzi and whatever to cook, I have no idea of what cooking is all about. Okay? I have very less experience in the kitchen. So even if you give me the best of ingredients, a person like me will not be able to generate anything meaningful out of it. I'll give you the potato back. I'll say, I can't cook. Ingredients are very nice, but I don't know how to convert those ingredients into something which is tasty. So it's of no use. A cook like me is useless. So the point I'm trying to say is that when Brahma was sitting on the lotus flower, all the ingredients were there. They were already activated by Mahavishnu. Till Brahma had no clue of what has to be done with those. Therefore, Brahma is bewildered. He is looking here and there. Everything is dark. He doesn't know what to do. So he tries to travel down the lotus stem and find out, somebody please tell me what to do with all this now. And he travels down for many, many years, but he still cannot find the origin of that stem. So then he gives up. He comes up and sits back on the lotus flower, and then from the waves of the Garbhodaka ocean, what sound comes? Tapa. Tapa, tapa, that sound comes. Tapa means what? Austerity. Meditation. On who? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then finally, Lord Brahma starts meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there the genesis of Brahma Samhita is also there, which we talk, say in the morning, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. So Brahma has shifted all that, because then he gets darshan of Lord Krishna, right? And after he gets that, then he asks the Lord, my dear Lord, please tell me, you know, what am I supposed to do with all these ingredients that you have created? And then Lord Krishna impregnates Brahma with the knowledge of converting sarga into visarga, of converting the primary creation into the secondary creation. Therefore, when you talk to people in India, they say Brahma is the creator. Why? Because they have never studied the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, they have no idea that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, this knowledge of metaphysics is very important for us to be able to see Krishna everywhere. What this verse is saying, verse is here. So Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, it is also mentioned similarly that we have to understand that sunlight is coming from the sun. So sun is actually a tangible object which is there in the sky. Sun is actually a tangible object in the sky. But being blinded with the sunlight, we cannot see the sun. But it does not mean that the sun does not exist. So Prabhupada is similarly saying, so the purport is similarly saying here that we have to understand that when the Mayavadis talk about Brahman, everything is Brahman, The question that we need to ask them is, what is the source of this Brahman? Have you seen that? And the Mayavadis, because they don't have access to Srimad Bhagavatam, they will never be able to point us to the source of Brahman. So this understanding basically of Sarga and Visarga helps us see all existence as an energy of the Lord. So there are two aspects which we are talking about, faith and fearlessness. So when we understand this metaphysics, we get faith in the Supreme Lord. We'll also talk about fearlessness. Now the example here, one of the examples that comes to mind is the example of Prahlad Maharaja Hiranyakashipu. Now, in this pastime, we see two different degrees of consciousness. On one hand, Hiranyakashipu is not able to see God anywhere. He is going everywhere all around the world, but he is not able to see God. On the other hand, his son Prahlad Maharaj can't help but see Lord everywhere. So two different, North Pole and South Pole, like that. Two different contrasting things the Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting here. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purports when he is writing, when he is describing these pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, that seeing God everywhere is the supreme goal of life. It is the perfection of life. Srila Prabhupada says that this is called as prayojana. Sambandha, abhideya and prayojana. Sambandha means the knowledge of relationship. Who am I and who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and what is our relationship? Abhideya means what is the process of re-establishing this relationship. And prayojana means the goal. What is the purpose of this? Where does this whole process, what should it lead to? That is called as prayojana. So Srila Prabhupada says that the prayojana for a devotee is to be able to see the Lord everywhere. There is an interesting verse that I came across when I was reading this, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is having conversation with Ramananda Raya, right? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inquiring from Ramananda Raya, please explain to me what is pure devotional life. So Ramananda Raya is giving Bhagavad Dharma, he is telling Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is listening that and becoming very excited. So the devotee is telling the Lord about Bhagavad Dharma. So a very interesting verse here. It says, Sthavara jangama dekhe, na dekhe tara murti. Sthavara jangama dekhe, na dekhe tara murti. Sarvatra haya, nija ishta deva spurati. Sarvatra haya, nija ishta deva spurati. It says, Sthavara jangama dekhe, which means, I may see a Mahabhagavat, a pure devotee, may see so many things around him. There are objects which are mobile, there are objects, elements which are immobile. There are so many entities which he sees. When he sees Sthavara Jangama Dekhe, Na Dekhe Tara Murti, a pure devotee does not see the forms of those material elements. He is not concerned with the forms of every individual object. Right? This is a human form, this is a fish form, this is a donkey form. He is not interested in all that. A Mahabhagavat. Sthavara Jangama Dekhe, Na Dekhe Tara Murti, Sarvatra Haya Nija Ishta Devaspurati. He says, whatever he sees, rather, instead of seeing the form of the material element, he sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord everywhere. This is called as Pandita Samadarshinaha. Samadarshinaha, seeing everything as equal, all living entities. And Srila Prabhupada says that this is the supreme goal of perfection of life. Now the question comes, if this is the perfection of life, then what is the process? What is the abhideya? It is mentioned Premandara Churita Bhakti Vilojane in Brahma Samhita. The process of seeing Krishna everywhere is nothing but bhakti or devotional service. Premandara Churita Bhakti Vilojane. Our eyes have to be tainted with bhakti. Only then we will be able to see the person behind this creation and see that person everywhere. Srila Prabhupada writes that when a devotee develops love of Godhead, then in his absorption of the Lord as all-pervading, he cannot see anything as separate. So he utilizes everything in the service of Krishna. So this is the prayojana. This is the process, devotional service. Now we see in the lives of so many saints, saintly persons, starting with Srila Narada. Srila Narada, all of you know, served the devotees. He served those saints who came to his house. And by serving those devotees, Vishwasrava Satadhana Se Vasudeva Kataruji, he got taste for the messages of Lord Krishna. And then he got a supreme benediction from these sages that he could see the Lord face to face everywhere, anywhere, at all points in time. Srila Narada got that benediction. And this happened by the mercy of devotees. So the ability to see the Lord everywhere needs the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, this is not going to happen. The same capability which was bestowed on Srila Narada Muni was also bestowed on Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Uddhava and Lord Brahma. As I mentioned earlier, at the very beginning of creation, Lord Brahma was given this knowledge by Lord Krishna of saying that, okay, you are trying to search everywhere for me, but you could not find me. But with bhakti, now you pray to me, you recited the Brahma Samhita. Now I am giving you the knowledge by which you can always remember me. So, this is very nicely epitomized in the four verses in the Chatushloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam. All of you know that Srimad Bhagavatam has got six most important verses out of all the cantos. One of those verses is the Paribhasha Sutra, the emperor verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which you know is Ite Chakshakala Krishna, Krishna Subha Vansvayam. Right? And then the second verse, which is again the most important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, is the Paribhasha Sutra of the Vedas. One is Paribhasha Sutra of the Bhagavatam, one is the Paribhasha Sutra of the Vedas, which is Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Shankyate. The three stages of realization of God, Brahman, Paramatma and then Bhagavan. So that is the second most important verse. But then there are four verses after that which are called as the Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, the most important verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. In that, it is very clearly explained about how to understand the internal energy and the external energy of the Lord. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse of the Chatushloki says, Aham evasam evagre. Aham evasam evagre. Nanya sat satvaram. Paschal aham eva esatcha yo vashishyeta so asmi aham. Which means what? It says eva asam, which means that before anything existed in this material world, it was I who existed. That's what Lord Krishna says. He's telling Lord Brahma, before anything existed, I existed. Eva Agre, Eva Agre means before creation. Then he says, Nanya Sat Asat Param. Nanya means there was nothing else. There was, I existed even before any Sat and Asat existed. There was, before any cause and effect could come, I existed. Vedvyasa Maharaj, when he was giving Bhagavatam class, he asked the children the question, did the chicken come first or the egg come first? So here, the Chatushloki of Bhagavatam is answering that. Lord is saying, before any cause and effect, Nanya Sat Asat Param. Before any cause and effect existed, I existed. He's very clearly saying here. Okay. And then he's saying, Esatcha, that means before, even after the creation, is annihilated. Yaha avashishyeta so asmiyam. Avashishyeta means what? Whatever remains after annihilation will also be so asmi aham. I will be there. So before creation, I existed. Before any cause and effect, I existed. And after the whole thing is destroyed, after that, whatever is existed is still me only. The Lord is clearly saying here. In the second verse, the Lord says, Hriday rasam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta cha atmani. Tad vidya ratmano mayam yatha abhasho yatha tamaha. He says, Hriday, Hriday means without. Hriday artham. Hriday artham. Artham means what? That which is of any value. Hriday artham yat pratiyeta. Pratiyeta means appears. That which appears to be of any value in this material world. Na pratiyeta cha atmani. It has got no value if it is not in relationship with me. Na pratiyeta cha atmani. Tad vidyat atmanaha mayam. He says, if you see anything without its relationship to me, then it is atmanaha mayam. It is all maya, illusory. Okay? Yatha abhasha. Yatha tamaha. Abhasha means what? Abhasha means a reflection of what is the real, a shadow of what is the real. That's why we call it nama abhash. Yatha abhash yatha tamaha. So, he's telling basically, Lord Krishna is telling Brahma that in this material world, if you see anything without its relationship to me, that is the illusory energy and it is darkness. Again in the third verse he says, Yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chav cheshvanu pravishthani apravishthani tatha deshu na deshvanu. So Lord says that pravishthani apravishthani, that I have already entered into all the universal elements, but apravishthani, I have not entered the universal elements. Which means I am part of the material world, but I am also aloof from the material world. And he says, tatha teshu na teshu. First he says teshu. Teshu means I am within them. I am within all the universal elements. And then he says na teshu. I am not there in the universal elements. So this philosophy is called as achintya bheda, where the Lord is present also but not present also in the material world. So he is explaining in the Chatushloki. And finally, the Lord is telling the fourth verse of the Chatushloki, where he says, etavat eva jigyasam tatya jigyasam atman anvaya vyatirekabhyam yat tat sarvatra sarvada. So he says anvaya, that means he says a devotee who has to now understand the presence of Lord everywhere has got two ways of understanding. He has got anvaya. Anvaya means directly he can understand, or vyatirekabhyam. Vyatirekabhyam means he can understand indirectly also. There are two ways of understanding. However, in the Prabhupada, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that the best way of understanding the Lord is through Bhakti Yoga, where Prabhupada writes that the indirect ways of understanding Lord is all the other yogas, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga and all that. It will take a lot of time. So in these four verses of the Chatushloki, Lord Krishna gives us a very nice clue of how to understand Him as the cause of all causes and get out of the material energy, take shelter of the superior energy of the Lord and get out of the clutches of the inferior energy. So, it is said that the impersonalist, the Mayavadi, Prabhupada said, in fact, Prabhupada was lecturing once, you know, in Jagannath Puri, and in that lecture, one person is asking a question. This person has very casually, he has come to the lecture. So, he is having paan in his mouth. When people chew paan, you know, our mouth becomes red. And then he is asking Prabhupada, you know, but Krishna is everywhere, he says, he is asking. So, Srila Prabhupada, cut him short, this guy. And he said that Krishna is everywhere, it is within the dog also. So will you, you know, worship and garland the dog? Right? So Srila Prabhupada got a bit annoyed in this way because he didn't come in a very submissive mood. You can imagine coming in front of a saint with paan in your mouth, with beetle leaf. You know. What is it called? Paan? Beetle leaf. Yeah. And then he's asking a question like that. So Srila Prabhupada told him that you impersonalists, okay, you don't have any access to Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada told him, only a lover of God can understand the personality behind this impersonal aspect. Srila Prabhupada told him that only a lover of God can see Him in every atom. At the metaphysical level, a lover of God can see Him in every atom, the presence of Lord. Not only that, but only a lover of God, by love of God, can we break the Hiranyamayana Patrena. Hiranyamayana Patrena means the veil by which, the gungat by which the Lord covers Him. That gungat is removed and then you can see the cause of all causes. So a devotee is able to see, to appreciate the Lord at a metaphysical level, at every atom, as well as see His intimate pastimes in the spiritual world, in Goloka. So Srila Prabhupada told him, you cannot see as long as you are obsessed with this impersonal concept. And Srila Prabhupada told him, this is called as sarahasyam tad angam. This is the rahasyam, the secret, the supreme most secret, or the achintya bheda bheda philosophy. Simultaneous oneness and difference, simultaneous presence as well as absence. So we should understand that with these transcendental purified senses only, we can shift our focus from the material energy and take shelter of the spiritual energy of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 15.15, the Lord says, Mattaha smriti jnanam apohanam cha. Which means that when one wants to forget the Lord, then Lord Krishna very nicely facilitates that forgetfulness. He is very confused in giving His love. He is very miserly person when it comes to giving love. But when it comes to giving forgetfulness, He gives it free of cost. Right? Immediately He gives it. So we see that even if some devotees have Shakshat Darshan of the Lord, He is coming inside and saying, I am Krishna, I have come in front of You now. Then still He will not believe. He said, no, you cannot be Lord. Right? And we see that in the lives of Hiranyakashipu. When Lord Narsingha gave Him, still He was fighting with Him. Right? And then we see it in the life of Duryodhana. Lord Krishna asked him, do you want my army or do you want me? He said, I want your army. Because he was not sure whether, about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Though Krishna was very present, he had not come. And then we see it in the life of Hiranyaksha, when the Lord came as a Varaha, boar. These people could not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the demigods could understand that this is not an ordinary boar. But Hiranyaksha could not understand this. So therefore forgetfulness, the Lord gives this forgetfulness to such souls. Hiranyakashipu in fact says to Lord Mahala, you have always described the Supreme to be somebody other than me. And he is chastising Prahlad Maharaj. My energies are all pervading, but still you are always describing that the Supreme is somebody else. This is the consciousness of a demon. So, why did this happen? Srila Prabhupada writes that too many austerities in life. If one works very hard in this material life, then such austerities make the heart very hard. So Hiranyakashipu's austerities were very intense, but what happened? Instead of generating love for Godhead, he became very hard-hearted. And that is what happens even in the corporate world today. The more and more we try to, climb the corporate ladder, more and more we take responsibilities and work for 10 hours, 14 hours, 16 hours a day, we keep going away from the Lord to that extent because of our greed to attain more and more of wealth, more and more of position. And then Prabhupada says, we develop what is called as a finders or keepers mentality. I found it, therefore I am keeping it. Everything is mine. So we get attached to all our positions. Because we cannot see who the property belongs to. We cannot see Krishna everywhere. So Srila Prabhupada says that we cannot be the enjoyer if we are not the proprietor. And we cannot be the proprietor if we are not the controller. And since we are not the controller, but we want to be the controller, therefore Krishna gives us forgetfulness to think that you are the controller. That's where the genesis of coming under the influence of the external energy of the Lord, that's where it begins. That we want to be the controller. Now what is the solution to make this transition? So Srila Prabhupada, in one of the lectures by, not by Prabhupada, but one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, I heard a very interesting example, a very simple example. To say how to come out of the clutches of this material world, how to make this transition from the external energy to the internal energy of the Lord. It is said that within every jiva, there are two switches which are there. One switch is called as a red switch. The red switch is forgetfulness of the Lord. If you switch it on, you will forget the Lord. And there is a green switch. If you press the green switch, then we will remember the Lord. So, the soul is very fortunate that both the switches are there. Red switch is also there and the green switch is also there. However, the soul is very unfortunate because the control of the switch is not with the soul. The control is Krishna. Okay. So, therefore, Krishna is the one who is going to make the switch on or off. But what is the basis? On what basis that Krishna decide which switch? Whether to press the red switch or the green switch? It is said, that Lord Krishna understands only one language. That is the language of the heart. The deep-rooted desire of the heart. Therefore, unless one has genuine desire for knowledge and remembrance, knowledge means jnana and remembrance means smriti. So unless one has a desire for jnana and smriti, one will land up with apohana. Matsaha smriti jnanam apohanamcha. One will land with forgetfulness of the Lord. Therefore, it is concluded that we have to develop genuine desires. At the end of the day, whatever externally we may say, however nice diplomacy we may show outside, but unless we have a genuine desire to see the Lord, the green button inside will never be switched on. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, 3rd chapter, 34th verse, Srila Prabhupada says, that the very same energy which bewilders the conditioned soul into birth, death, old age and death helps him progress on the path of self-realization. But it needs an expert electrician. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of the electrician where he says that the electrician can very nicely manipulate the equipment. Sometimes it can use heat, sometimes the same thing can operate as an air conditioner. It can make the room cool. Same electrician. Srila Prabhupada says, therefore, just like this heating and cooling is there, the way of transferring ourselves from the external energy to the internal energy is two. two ways are there. Srila Prabhupada says, one is repentance and the other is penance. Repentance and penance. This is the solution for coming out of the clutches of the external energy and coming into the clutches of the internal energy. And then Srila Prabhupada mentions that right in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj was used by Lord Krishna as an instrument. Krishna Swadhama Upadate Dharma Jnana Adhari Saha. Right? You know that verse. Where it is said that where has Dharma taken shelter after the departure of Lord Krishna from this material world? It has taken shelter in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Swadhama Upadate Dharma Jnana Adhari Saha. After that, Srimad Bhagavatam has come. Purana Arka Adhuna Udita, which means after Lord Krishna went, now this Purana of Srimad Bhagavatam has replaced Lord Krishna. It's not different from the Lord Himself. So, Parikshit Maharaj was used by Lord Krishna as an instrument such that this Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken. And the entire of mankind could know how to see Lord Krishna everywhere by coming out of the clutches of the external energy and coming into the clutches of the internal energy of the Lord. So, Parikshit Maharaj, if you see, was not an ordinary person. He was the emperor of the entire universe. And he was very respectful towards the Brahmanas. But Lord Krishna, what he did, because of his desire, somehow he bewildered him with hunger, thirst and fatigue. And then as he was wandering, you know that he went and went into the cave, he saw the sage under meditation, he got a very cold reception from the sage. And therefore he put a snake around his neck. And then the emperor of the world, within 7 days, was cursed to die by the son of that sage. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada says that what is more important to understand in this pastime is how did Parikshit Maharaj respond or react to this curse. So when we are talking about the subject matter of seeing God everywhere, which is what is the verse for today, it's not only seeing the God physically, for example, you know, God coming from that door or God coming from the musical system here. It is not seeing God, just simply seeing the Lord in the deity form. It is about seeing the interference of Lord in every situation, whether it is good or bad in our life, and understanding that the Lord is interfering. That is actually called as seeing God everywhere. So, now what are the symptoms of someone who is having this samadarshi, who is seeing God everywhere in every situation? That is the Parikshit Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada writes that as he was leaving his palace, the emperor was leaving the palace, Parikshit Maharaj had a deep sense of regret and repentance that I did something wrong. Though actually Prabhupada said that Parikshit Maharaj was right, because as per the Shastra, the king is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he has to be treated like that when a king is coming. So obviously the Brahmana should have received Maharaj Parikshit properly, knowing that he is the emperor of the universe. So Maharaj Parikshit was right. But still, knowing that still he was right, in his anger, he took responsibility for his actions. He did not try to justify his activities, neither did he try to counteract the curse by any other manner. He simply accepted it, he welcomed the consequence and said that I am prepared. So therefore Srila Prabhupada says, a sign of a good man, this is the sign of a good man, that he feels repentant and he is ready for consequences, does not blame anyone and sees Krishna's hand in everything and knows that nothing happens without the sanction of the Lord. This is what is meant by seeing Krishna everywhere. Srila Prabhupada says, self-realization means becoming indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle body. Self-realization means being indifferent, becoming indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle body and becoming serious about the needs of the soul. Now, Purijan Prabhu, you know, gives a very nice example. In fact, he did a very beautiful retreat and many of us attended that last year. There were many interesting things which he spoke in that retreat as well as several other retreats similarly which he has done in the past. He gives an example of how a devotee goes through the drama of this life. So he says that a real devotee who is going through the drama of this life is fully focused on the intent or the wish of the director of the drama. Okay. So he gives an interesting example. He says, suppose there is a drama and then there is a director, and the director has given various roles to everyone. You play this role, you play that role. Just like Kapasana Prabhu and company, yesterday they did one drama. Everyone had one role. So in this, he says that suppose you get a role, and as per that role, you are destined to $1 billion of inheritance in that role, right? And what happens in the drama? You are getting all the $1 billion in your hands. They are giving you cash, big suitcases, real cash inside, right? And then what happens from behind? Somebody is coming, and then he sees that you have cash. He pokes you from behind with a knife, and you are dead. And he takes that cash now, right? And then the drama is over. Some drama is, then it is over, and then everybody is clapping. The fellow is dead, and then the curtains are closed. Now, after that, what happens in the drama? People get up. The dead man gets up, and the fellow who has the cash, both of them go to the director. They are supposed to do that. They are supposed to go to the director and ask him, "Dear director, are you pleased with my acting? I suppose so. You are satisfied." Instead of that, they are going to the director and saying that this cash is now mine because I have it now. I am taking it home now. It is now mine. Right? Prabhupada says this is foolish mentality. Rather, Bhujan Prabhu says this is foolish mentality. Only an intoxicated person will behave like this. So he says, similarly, we have forgotten our true role, which is Jivera Surupavai Krishna Nitya Das. Okay. So Bhujan Prabhu says that our costume in this drama is this gross body. The costume is this gross body and the role which we play comes from the subtle body, suited to that costume and scripted by the Lord. So, a good actor, a sincere actor, will work for the director's pleasure and never identify with the role which he is in. Therefore, a true devotee is more serious. This is a very interesting statement which Gurujan Prabhu makes. A true devotee is more serious about pleasing the director rather than about absorption in the role. And any absorption that he shows in this role is only to the extent of playing this role perfectly, not beyond that. This is the meaning of being indifferent to the needs of the gross body, whether it is gross or of the material body, whether it is gross or subtle. Again, he mentioned that there are different kinds of situations in this drama. Some people get a very good role. For example, Bhujan Prabhu says, one person gets the role of king in the drama. So he is entering like this, and then there is trumpet, like that, and then this fellow is coming very nicely in the drama. Very beautiful costume he is having. A throne is prepared for him. He is nicely sitting on the throne like that, and all the subjects are going down in front of him. Maharaj, Maharaj, like that. And then we are given the throne, and then we sit, and then after some time, we say, Maja, I am liking this role. It's real fun. People are going. Never it is happening in the material world. Tomorrow morning when I go to office, my boss will know how he will treat me, I know. But right now the drama is going on. So I know that this is Sunday and the drama is going on, and tomorrow is Monday morning. Again I have to go to my office and subordinate myself to somebody. Right? But still the mentality is to prolong the drama as much as possible, because right now I am ready for it. Right? Everybody is going down, I am enjoying. So Bhujan Prabhu is saying, let the drama go on. This is the mentality of a karmi. So he is defining karmi. Karmi is like to prolong the enjoyment of the material world, knowing very well that it is temporary. It will get over. And then he says, worse than this is the impersonalist. Worse than karmi is the mayavadi. The mayavadi, Bhujan Prabhu says, he plays the spoiled sport in the drama, because he hasn't got a very good role in this drama. Okay. So he is frustrated and disgusted with this drama. So he rejects the costume, he rejects the role. And he says, no, this drama is all over. And I want this drama to end, that's all, somehow. I want mukti, mukti, mukti. Right? And he walks away from everything. So Bhujan Prabhu very nicely gave this example of karmi and the mayavadi. Okay. Whereas a devotee, he concludes, a devotee sees this drama, sees his role as Nimitra Matra Bhava Savyasachi. Only an instrument. Okay. So a devotee is not attached to the play. He is not attached to the play or the drama beyond the intent of the director. He is not interested beyond the intent of the director, on one hand. Number two, a devotee also, like the Mayavadi, does not try for a premature exit from the drama. So he is not a karmi and not a mayavadi. So Parikshit Maharaj, he says, became even more glorious because he did not play his role more than required, nor did he try for a premature exit. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam became even more glorious because Parikshit Maharaj was not an old man who was at the brink of death. Parikshit Maharaj was in the prime of his career at that point in time. He was right at the peak. He was the emperor of the universe at the peak of life. And then, from there, from 7 days, he was cursed to die. And that is what makes the Srimad Bhagavatam even more glorious. So, Parikshit Maharaj went to the banks of the Ganga. He took a deep vow. He was very grateful in his heart for this. He had deep repentance, ready to face the consequences, did not blame anyone, and said that, "I deserve much worse, actually." He tells all the sages, "I deserve much worse. I don't even know why you sages have come in front of me. I don't deserve to be in front of you. It is because of my forefathers that you have come in front of me." So he gives all credit to his forefathers. And Srila Prabhupada said, in this context, Srila Prabhupada made a very beautiful statement. He said, "In this material world, one should see Krishna's slap as equally beneficial as a pat on the back at some other time." This is called as Samadarshi, seeing Krishna everywhere. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to fast unto death, meditating on the banks of the Ganga. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, "Remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord." So Srila Prabhupada says that this seeing God everywhere is nothing but smaranam. Remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord means counteracting all the sinful reactions of the past. Not only counteracting the sinful reactions of the past, but a determination to renounce all the sinful activities of the future also. So that is why Srila Prabhupada designed the initiation system in ISKCON to be what it is today. So what happens in an initiation? An initiation, there are two things which happen. One is the component of repentance, which we mentioned earlier. We talked about two things, right? Repentance and penance. These are the two things to get out of the clutches of the external energy of the Lord. So how do we show our repentance during initiation? We take a vow to chant 16 rounds. We say, "My dear Lord, I have sinned in the past. I can't do anything about it now. But from now onwards, dear Guru Maharaj, I will chant minimum 16 rounds and I will try to chant them as attentively as possible every day, knowing very well that the holy name has the power of Cheto Darpana Marjana Bhava Mahadavadni Nirvapana." The holy process of chanting the holy names of the Lord has the power to erase my bad karma, to remove everything, whatever sinful activities that I have done in the past, whether it be bijam, kutam, aprarabdham, prarabdham, avidya, anything. Okay? It all goes away. Not only that, my dear Guru Maharaj, not only will I show repentance, but I will also do some penance, which means I will follow the four regulative principles at least from now onwards. I take a vow. Okay? And I will not accumulate any further sins. So in that sense, we are in the initiation, we are taking care of our past as well as we are taking care of our future sinful activities. And Srila Prabhupada says, to the extent that we take this vow seriously of 16 rounds and four regulative principles, to that extent the external energy will be transformed into the internal energy in our lives. Seeing Krishna everywhere, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, seeing Krishna everywhere doesn't mean that Krishna will come crashing through the door in front of you. He says, it simply means that whatever happens in life, okay, we have to take shelter of Krishna and use every situation to come more and more closer to the Lord. That is actually the meaning of seeing Lord everywhere. So Narad Muni heard these four verses of Chatushloki. When Narad Muni heard these four verses of Chatushloki, what did he do? He actually had a desire to walk away with the sages. Because Narad Muni was completely purified with the association of sages. So he wanted to walk away with the sages. But he stayed with his mother, because his mother was very old. So he continued staying with his mother. He did not walk away independently with the Bhakti Vedanta. Not only did he do that, he also did not wait in a sense of complacence with his mother. Being with attachment to his mother, praying that, "Oh my dear God, give my mother a long life because she is my mother. So much affection I have, what will I do without her? I will become very lonely." No. He did not walk away with the Bhakti Vedanta. At the same time, he did not get too much attached to his mother and son. So Srila Prabhupada says that after hearing Narad Muni, after hearing these four verses, what he did was, he intensely waited. He was intensely desiring for a signal from Krishna. And that signal from Krishna opened the door after some time. How? Because mother, with a snake bite, the mother left the body. Okay? So Krishna opened the door for him by taking away his mother. And because Narad Muni was very nicely trained on how to transition from the external energy to the internal energy, he didn't get bewildered. And he saw his mother's departure as an inconceivable mercy of Krishna. And Prabhupada mentioned that Krishna has his own way of dragging everyone, every soul, unto him. Even when Narad Muni left his house, the journey was not very easy. It's not that Narad Muni, you know, was walking very nicely and then some people saw him and started serving him very nicely. Some rich man adopted him and then Narad Muni was happy very, you know, ever after, without poverty. That is not how the story ends. Narad Muni goes through more and more and more hardship till the point in time that he comes face to face with the Lord. And even after that, the Lord says, this is the last time that you will see me in this life. Right? And the Lord disappears from his vision. So it was not easy for Narad Muni also to get out of the internal energy and external energy and come into the shelter of internal energy. There is a whole process around it, whole tapasya. Similarly, we find that Prahlad Maharaj was also not in a very easy, conducive situation. Okay? But still, he was seeing Krishna everywhere. So Srila Prabhupada says in third canto that seeing Krishna everywhere means that we have to learn to first see Krishna in the deity form. Seeing Krishna everywhere means first seeing Krishna in the deity form. Then seeing Krishna inside the hearts of the devotees. That is the second. And the third stage of seeing Krishna everywhere is gradually seeing Krishna in the heart of all living entities, whether it is a devotee or non-devotee. Prema, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha, Yaha Karoti Sa, Madhyama. So Prema means I see the Lord and I fall in love with the deity. That is the first stage of seeing Krishna everywhere. Prema, Maitri means I see Krishna in all the devotees' hearts. So I develop friendship with all the devotees. I am not inimical or hostile to the devotees. Right? And then Prema, Maitri, Kripa. Kripa means compassion. Then what happens? I gradually see all the living entities in this world, whether they are devotees or non-devotees, everybody is struggling. Therefore, I get kripa, compassion, seeing God everywhere. Prema, Maitri, Kripa. And then Upeksha. Upeksha means hatred toward all those devotees who, even after suffering in this material world, refuse to acknowledge the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are inimical to the Lord and his devotees. Prema, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha. So all of them saw Krishna everywhere, all these great personalities, Parikshit Maharaj, Narad Muni, Prahlad Maharaj, all of them saw Krishna everywhere in all aspects of their life and did not walk away from the drama. So Krishna used them to manifest his divine pastimes. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion of today is that we can also practice seeing Krishna everywhere by using the right signals from Guru, Shastra and Sadhu. Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, with a heart full of repentance and penance. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Any comments on that? I'm afraid of questions. I don't know anything beyond what I know. Even that I'm not sure.
Why do you say Mayavadi is so bad?
You know the answer too. For my own purification, I'll repeat. So Srila Prabhupada says that, and before you entered, we were discussing this. Srila Prabhupada says that Mayavadis do not have access to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they don't want to open the Srimad Bhagavatam. Any Mayavadi forcefully restricts himself to the Vedas only. Because he knows the moment he opens Srimad Bhagavatam, he has to come in terms with some personality which will disprove to him that you are not God, that you are God. Mayavadi thinks that I am the controller. So he doesn't want to accept that somebody else is there who is the controller and I am a servant because of the envy. And because of this envy, Mayavadis have to be condemned, Srila Prabhupada says. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavadi Bhashya Sunile Haya Sarvanash. If you hear the commentary of a Mayavadi, you finished. Because of the enviousness of the Lord. So they are not able to see Krishna anywhere Why? Because they are thinking that they are Krishna. So when you think like that, where can you see yourself outside? Right? And even when they are shown a mirror of Srimad Bhagavatam, they refuse to see that mirror. They refuse to see who they are. They refuse to acknowledge that they are Jivara Sarupravai Krishna Nityananda. They don't want to acknowledge the truth. They don't want to come in contact with anyone who wants to save them. Because they are so convinced and they want to live in that false illusion that they are God and they are the controllers.
Do they read Bhagavad Gita? Because Bhagavad Gita says, Bhoktaram Yaktasam Sarvur Mahesham. So they don't read Bhagavad Gita either.
They read Bhagavad Gita. In fact, I know many people in my office, Raj, you know, Chandra, right? He goes to, you know, the Chinmayananda Ashram and he reads the Bhagavad Gita or the Chinmayananda Ashram also. But there it is said, Aham is I. Now, who is the speaker? Krishna is the speaker. When he says Aham, he is talking that I am the Supreme. Whereas here they say that we are all, everybody sitting in this room, we are all the corners of the spiritual and the material world. That's how they interpret it. So they read the Bhagavad Gita, but they misinterpret the Sanskrit word, where Aham, they talk about themselves rather than saying that Krishna said that he is the Supreme Personality of God. So if you read the entire Bhagavad Gita in that way, then the whole meaning of the Bhagavad Gita is different. It is said that the distance between the material world and the spiritual world is very vast. You have to cross many, many layers of covering. The last covering, I think, is the false ego. Right? You have to cross the five rods covering, then the three gattu coverings, and then go to the spiritual world. This distance, this journey is very long. And in school and in college, in trigonometry, we studied the theta phenomenon, right? The sine theta, cos theta, and tan theta. We realize that when the distance is very long, even a small change in the philosophy, theta, can mean that instead of landing here, you are landing somewhere else. Therefore, the Mayavadis, though they are reading the same verse, because they are interpreting Aham as me instead of Krishna, instead of landing in the spiritual world, they rot in hell. Because the distance is very long.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Sai
Gaurav.
Jai Jai Nadaram Prabhu ki jai. Mohe Bhaktavrindi ki jai.